you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. That heart when it got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet. No surrender and I won't retreat. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
I'm the man.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the known world listening to our voices. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. Again,
what up, y'all?
We are here for all of your lifestyle, love, community, and culture needs, okay? For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2, B, P-S-Y-C-H, at gmail.com. B2Bpsych@gmail.com. Okay? Also, we are streaming live and up on a podcast. You can catch us live on a podcast if you'd like to interact live and ask questions in real time live. You can catch us at mahoganyloveandlight.podbean.com. That's all one word. Mahogany, love, and light. That's all together. Mahogany, love, and light. Podbean.com. Okay? And there you can ask your questions and we will answer them in real time. For those that are listening, again, we'd like for you to know that any of the views, perspectives, or ideas that you hear on this show or on podcast, via podcast, none of these ideas are supported by Marshall University. are supported by WMUL, by any of its employees, affiliates, sponsors, or supporters, are supported by, again, Marsh University or WMUL, any of their employees, sponsors, affiliates, or supporters. These are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So, again, peace and blessings to everybody out there. We want to thank you, though, for those who continue to listen. Again, we're trying this new podcast thing. We're trying to been racking our brain, and we've been trying to, as best as we could, try to figure out how can we have better crowd interaction, better listener interaction, and we're hoping that this is this is just one of a myriad of things that we're trying. And so again, if you get a chance, go to mahoganyloveandlight.podbean.com and talk to us. We actually have a call-in feature as well that you can call in as well. So through the podcast. So by all means, give us a call, send us a message, ask questions, respond, comment, let us know what's on your mind. Okay? So, again, the last, if you've been keeping up with us, the last few weeks we did a three-part series on discipline. We started out talking about discipline, and we asked, when has discipline gone too far? And then from there, we talked about what happens with extreme discipline. What happens when discipline, when it's extreme? And then from there, you add another layer of humiliation and shame. So humiliation and shame was part two. And then from there, we went to part three. And part three was, we started to ask the question, well, what happens? How do you know if these things are currently manifesting themselves in your life now? And how do we heal from our past trauma and our past pain? Okay. So all three of those are up at what's your site? Chapman? Ghost Chapman?
Yeah, but it just basically takes them just back to Mahogany.
Okay.
So if they go there, they're going to be able to see all the same things.
Okay, cool. So you can go to mahoganyloveandlight.com and download any of those podcasts and re-listen to them. Okay. Or, so again, that's that. So we're going to move on and move forward. And one of the topics that we have slated today is to talk about the internet.
The internet, y'all. I know you, some of you are trolls out there.
And we were talking about, again, is the internet a good thing? Or what are some of the downsides to, online interaction? Okay. It's nothing for me to go out to eat or go somewhere. I've actually now seen couples on dates, and they're at the table and they're on the phone instead of talking to each other.
Date.
Yeah.
How'd you know it was a date?
I guess it called. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they was on a date, maybe they wasn't. I don't know. But you see people on dates, you see people driving on the phone. Like, people can't let their phones go, and it made us start to ask the question, is the internet an addiction of some sort? When people can't literally go without their phones, and actually, there's some research that shows that people experience some sort of anxiety when they're separated from their phones.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know. We was just sitting around talking and trying to think about what are some of the pros and cons of the internet. You know, obviously, some of the positive aspects of the internet is it puts us in touch with parts and pieces of the world that we probably never would have at our fingertips by way of information. Okay. One of my classes, actually, we talked about how the internet has changed dating.
Yeah, and it changed the whole game.
Yeah, it completely, in a lot of different ways. But this guy was actually, the guy was talking about how much easier it is for him to cheat now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And we started talking about this whole layer of cheating, whereas back in the day, you know, when there was no internet, you could cheat with JoJo or Sally around the corner, or somebody that was at church, somebody was in your immediate circles.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the internet, I can find somebody in Milton, I can find somebody in Ashland, I can find somebody that doesn't live in my immediate city,
mm-hmm,
that I don't run in circles with, and I can make a 20-minute drive to Ashland, and I can make a 20-minute drive back, none the wiser. So I thought that was interesting. we kind of got into this back and forth about how the internet has become, and not just the internet, social media is a double-edged sword. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's interesting as I'm thinking about, like, we're going to get into pros and cons, but I'm thinking about when did the internet and social media really become a big thing? You know, we're about the same age, so in high school it wasn't a big thing. You know, I think it was like in my 20s when there was this, it was like, seemed like a leap, a big leap that happened.
Something happened in the 20s, and it was after I was out of undergrad. It was something happened around 2000.
Yeah.
That there was this giant leap forward. And again, I think it was when MySpace, stuff like MySpace and Facebook came on the scene, where you could interact with people. You can talk to people and interact with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At a distance. I think that's where I saw a huge change.
Because I find myself thinking about, like, you know, think about all the things that we can do that we couldn't do then. Mm-hmm. I'm bad now when it comes to it, the directions and things like that, because I don't spend as much time trying to remember them. I can just go to my phone to get, embarrassingly, to get like somewhere that's not even that far away.
Yeah.
But I remember I had this chauffeur job a while back, and it was when you used MapQuest. You remember MapQuest?
Yeah.
But you didn't have it on your phone, and I remember how much of a hassle it was to go. I would go to my sister's house, print out this MapQuest to find out where I was going, and just that would be one big advantage of, like, oh, I can just go to my phone wherever it is. And even when people try to do the old, well, what you're going to do is you're going to go down to the street when you see the strange chicken, you're going to make a right, and they still try to tell me directions. I'm like, just give me the address. But that's one thing that I really appreciate, being able to just find out where I'm going quickly.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing, and maybe we should expand this above and beyond the internet and social media, just technology in general. How has technology changed our lives? I think that it's something that I talk to about young kids all the time, is I joke with them and I say, none of you will ever get jobs, ever. And they go, why? And I go, because none of you have social skills, because you're on your phones all the time. Before there was the internet, before there was Facebook, before there was any of this stuff, we had to know how to interact and talk to people.
Yeah.
When you got in trouble, you had to you had to learn how to talk yourself out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think that kids are lacking social skills. I see you, Glenn. Glenn, what's going on, brother? How are you? Peace and blessings, brother. I appreciate you. You signing on. So, and Glenn, if you're listening, we're talking about, again, the pros and cons of social media and in the internet and just technology in general. And so, you know, they order their pizzas online.
Right.
They order their clothes online. Hell, you can order your grocery online.
Right.
So it's like, I'm telling them, look, your degree will not get you a job. Your degree is going to get you an interview. And the question is, what I'm starting to see is a lot of these young kids, they lack social skills. They have no social skills of how to interpret facial expressions, how to voice inflection, none of that, because they're constantly talking to each other on the phone.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, you know, I think we can see that to a degree, and you hear old heads having this conversation all the time. And I can see the younger generation saying, like, oh, I don't really think that's a problem. I actually think, besides the social skills, I think that's a big thing, because having hard skills will get you hired, but not having soft skills will get you fired. That sounds like a saying that I'm used to. But also, I think some of the reasons that, I don't know if social media caused this or what caused it, but I think people are using social media to get connection they're not getting. Does that mean social media caused it? Good question for the audience. But what it's also, people get their strokes in different ways. And if they can't get them from somebody physically, then they try to get them from likes and Instagram and all this other stuff. I don't know if Instagram and Facebook and social media caused that, or if people are just trying to use it because they're lacking.
That's a good point. You know, what came first, chicken or the egg?
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think that while it's so useful, I just think that it cripples us in so many different ways. So Glenn Online says, as someone who worked before social media and cell phones and post, communication was much better prior. And I agree. I think that our ability to communicate with each other, when I get email, was so much better before then. Like when I get emails from my students, it's all these abbreviations. Like they literally don't know how to spell because it's all these abbreviations, or they're so used to spell check and autofill and spell check that they can't write an email, they can't write a proper letter. You know what I mean? They don't know. Like again, so a part of the reason that I think that we invent technology and we invent things is to make our lives easier. Yeah. And a part of making our lives easier, I think it makes us lazy.
Okay, yeah, it makes us more efficient. But we lose something sometimes with
efficiency. No. I don't know if efficiency.
No.
I think
I'm trying to bring in a younger generation stuff to
it,
you know.
I think it makes us lazy. I don't know if it makes us efficient in what way. I have more time to do what now?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about not just social media. I'm thinking about other forms of technology we might use that we weren't using before that make a quicker communication or get things done that it would take us longer to do if we weren't using technology.
Yeah. Now, Glenn just made a really good point. He says he's the type that's overwhelmed by personal interaction. Sometimes it's easier on his brain to interact online.
Okay.
It's conversation, but it's less overwhelming. Now, the question is, again, Glenn, you know that I'm a developmental psychologist, and my partner here, Dr. Chapman, is a clinical psychologist. Okay? So the question for the clinical psychologist is that a good thing? Well, is it a good thing?
Hello, Glenn.
Is it a good thing that he found something that is he put in a position to grow and evolve?
Okay, well, it's complicated. I don't think it's like a good or bad thing because people, you know, they have different ways to thrive in the world, and we all have different levels of what we're comfortable with. So I think that everything has to be judged in context of how it affects the person overall. I mean, I think there are some people that just regardless of whether they're with social media or not would be uncomfortable in social situations. Maybe they're more introverted. They're used to being to themselves. They get really overwhelmed or they're anxious and different things like that. And that's why I think in some ways these, whether it's social media or these other outlets can be helpful to that person. But the question really is, are there social interactions that are social media or otherwise form, is that shaping them, or were they already like that and this is what they do because of that? And can we really separate those two? Because, you know, it's kind of like a nurture and nature effect. And so it might stun their ability to evolve in these different situations, but do we all have to evolve the same way?
I think that's a good point. I think it's generational. I think that for people who are born with this technology, I think it stunts their growth and ability to evolve to some degree. Like,
okay,
you know what I'm saying? You never think to exercise those muscles because you never have to. It's like if you're born in a wheelchair, do you ever think to walk?
Mm-hmm.
Like it never crosses. I think with these kids, it never like my kid, it never crosses their mind. My kids want something and they get on their phone and I'm like, you know, baby, go over there and talk for what? Like it never occurs to young kids to go face to face and talk to somebody. It literally never occurs because they don't have to, because they never had to. It's right. Just their normal.
I'm laughing at that because I know there's plenty of people who are like, when the phone rings, they look at the phone like, well, why is this person calling me when they could be texting me? You know, that's kind of the process. But also what you're saying about muscles, you know, that's the way our neural connections are. Basically, whatever fires together, wires together. So we have social neurons, you know, mirror neurons, these empathy neurons. And if we're not using them, then it would make sense that they're not becoming as efficient, and you're going to lose something when it comes to your ability to socialize and empathize. Yeah. I mean, I think there's science to back that up.
Yeah. Glenn said a blind man never thought that pink was pretty. I guess, you know, I feel even in saying that online interaction can also be super unhealthy mentally.
Well, it can be unhealthy, but it's just a matter of, it's not an absolute, you know. It's just like certain foods. There are certain foods that are absolutely not healthy, and there are certain foods in moderation that are not going to harm you. And I think it's like that with whatever form, technology or social media. They could be good or they could be hard. I mean, they could harm you in some way, depending on your overuse. I guess it comes down to, how do we know really if someone's doing that? I think what you're saying about the younger generation makes sense, because they're growing up in a time where, okay, sometimes when I have when clients come in, and it's hard sometimes for people to come in without their kids. So when they bring in their kid, they usually bring in the kid with an iPad, okay, YouTube videos. And that's like the thing, you know, whereas in our generation, there might have been some blocks or something else. But so this kid, yeah, from a young age, like 2 or 3, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not judging the parents, but maybe that's harmful.
Yeah, yeah. What I think is interesting is that I can't read off of a computer or iPad. Like, I have to have physical hard paper in my hand, because that's just how I'm wired and how I was wired from the time I was a kid.
Okay.
I can read, but I read more efficiently that way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when I went to take the GRE and they shifted everything to computer-based, and I was so used to reading everything hardcore, cold in my hands, I noticed a difference in my ability to process stuff. Yeah. These kids, like you said, from the time that they're babies, they're holding iPads. I can remember I tripped out the Christmas that I got my son an Xbox, and it had like 9 buttons on it.
Yeah.
And I literally, kids are so used to multitasking with media, they're just wired in a very, very different way, which is a question that's coming up about school and academia and university and education now.
Yeah.
The way we do things, the way we're doing things now in the classroom, is it in line with the way that they learn?
Right.
Because they're so used and so hardwired to technology and iPads and having stuff in their hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, does this face-to-face thing, is this a thing of the past for our generation? Are they better off everything going online? Because that's what they're used to.
Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, online is definitely growing. As we know, it's becoming a big thing. And interactions are like that. I mean, even think about how many times you're walking around campus and you see the students that are like looking at their phone, they're FaceTiming.
Yeah.
Which I hate when they don't wear like headphones. Y'all should be wearing headphones. We don't need to hear who you're talking to. but that's just how they interact. You know, that's even if it's FaceTime for a person who's not here because they're in their hometown or whatever, or Skype or Zoom, or that's the way of the world now. Yeah. And it seems like these conversations come up because it feels like you're not really a good educator if you're not considering these things, which then they can be good. But what's the harm? I think the harm when it comes to these things, and it's not like by itself, but and it's not just the wiring of the brains. There's lots of things on how they perceive things and how they think they should be and how others should be. And that's specifically with social media, because when people are going based on likes and these different things like that, they see how many likes another person has, which comparison is a problem whether you're online or not. But I think it gets a little worse online because there's so many things you can compare yourself to. Like if me and you are in the room, I can only compare myself to you. But if I go online, I can compare myself to like people all the way across the world.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually what Glenn said on the live feed. If someone's self-esteem is directly connected to likes and so on, if they don't receive the first feedback, then they struggle.
Yeah. You
know what I'm saying? And that's a part of what I was going to say is, I think that a part of the problem is the reality that a lot of times the reality, like social media gives you a platform to create such a false reality that doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're comparing each other to each other anyway, but I see your house and I see your car and I see where you live. Yeah. Like online, it's a whole lot of people online that's acting like they balling that they not.
Right.
You know, I know people that's posting pictures and posting trips and they're about to get their lights cut off. You know what I'm saying? But online, they make their lives look so amazing. And a part of what that does is when I'm looking online or somebody's looking online and you see other people's lives, you look at them and you go, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Right.
What is wrong with my life? And you start to get depressed. You start to not like yourself. You start to not like your partner. Their partner looks better than mine. Like I said, they got a filter on.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like their partner looks better than mine. Their life looks better than mine. Like their kids are prettier than mine. They're taking all these trips. What am I doing wrong? So it puts you in this position to try to keep up.
Right. And
or either fall into this sort of depression that you really truly feel like there's something wrong with you and something wrong with your life when it's not. Half these folks out here, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Living paycheck to paycheck, just trying to keep up this false, fake lifestyle.
Right. And I think that's part of the problem, because really, comparison's a problem, whether it's online or not. But I think what happens, there's a number of things. Like, people sometimes get mad at what people post, and that's because of the outcome. Another person is comparing themselves to that, and that's what causes them to feel depressed, or like they gotta, you know, get into a whole bunch of debt to keep up with this person, all this other stuff. I think another part of that is interesting is that should we really be mad about what this person is posting if they are posting just the positive parts of their life? Because all we're seeing in their social posts are just a glimpse anyways. And if they choose to just focus on the positive outside of somebody comparing themselves to it, do we have to be mad about that? I mean, that's just a separate question. But coming back to this idea of comparison, it's like I think that we're so vulnerable to that because we're social beings. Right.
Yeah.
We're regardless of the society we come from, you know, some are more collectivistic, some are more individualistic. But in general, as human beings, we are designed, you know, we come from parents, we come from, we want to bond, we want to attach to something. And attachment in some ways lends itself to comparison.
You think so?
I do, because I'm attaching to you. I'm attaching to a group of people. This is my thoughts. I'm attaching to a group of people. I'm bonding. When I'm not attaching to you, I have to figure out how I'm comparing to the other people that I think I'm going to attach to. And if we open up the internet and I can now compare myself to you, I might not see it as an attachment thing directly in the sense that, you know, your studying goes, but I'm comparing myself to you, and in a sort of evolutionary way, how do I fit in that? Well, I don't fit because I don't compare. So I'm an outlier. I'm not really in the herd. I'm not part of the herd.
I wonder how much of this is an American thing. An American perspective. And what made me think that was when you said there are individualistic societies and communalistic societies.
Yeah.
And a lot of collectivistic, communalistic societies, to my Africa, we talk about Asia, a lot of places, like my entire existence is I am because we are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the whole goal of my life is to do what I can to think about the group. You know what I'm saying? And how can I better the group? I'm not like it. I think it's America is very materialistic and very much individualistic and very much me, my, and I. I think that's an American cultural thing, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
It would be dope to look at other countries and see their see internet usage. To see if they suffer from some of the same anxiety and depression things that we suffer from, that are connected to and that are related to internet and internet use. It'll be dope to see other levels of social media use in other countries and stuff like that. I think all of this comparison stuff and how these comparisons affect us individually, you know what I'm saying? I think that's because we're an individualistic, materialistic society. And that's why it affects me in the same way. Hold on. So Glenn says he follows Buddhism. One thing they say is you can't help anyone if they are attached. Loving without attachment. As professionals, does the premise have a place?
Okay. I want to come back to that thing because I had a thought. So just remind me. We'll come back to that. So I think with, I'm wrapping my head around what you're saying there, right? And I think there definitely would be a difference between cultures for sure. And I wonder if some of the differences we see are just behavioral. So this idea that people are social, I think, is universal. In some cultures, it's created that you're going to be more concerned about the family and not dishonoring the family, and things bring honor to the family, education, this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
And in ours, it might appear to be more individualistic, or it is, but it's still about a desire to fit in somewhere. So it seems like the me, my, I type thing is about me, but it's really about how do I compare, and I'm not fitting into the group. Even though it's about me, it's about me not fitting in. I feel like an outsider in some ways. That's kind of like what I wonder.
I think I agree, but I think it's nuanced. I want to fit into the group, but the question is, what do I want my place in this group to be? Because we still look at our groups with hierarchies. So I want to fit in this group, but I want the group to think I'm dope.
You want to be like the alpha.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want the group to think I'm dope. I don't want to lose me in the group. I don't want to be a part of the soup. I want to be a part of the salad. This is a salad. And while we all in here together, I still want to be the top dog within this group.
Okay.
Who the hell want to be vice president? Think about that. Nobody. I want to play on the team. I want to be on the football team. I don't want my son to be a lineman. I want my son to run the ball, to throw the ball, or catch the ball. That's how people think. We want them to be on the team, but we want them to be the standout of the group. The True. Only reason you're a part of this group is because you have to be
right,
so you can stand out.
But that person who wants to be the vice president, do they want to be the vice president just for them? Or is it not from a root of something? Their family, which still implies their group, even though it's an individualistic group.
Hold on, bro. Nobody wants to be the damn, but nobody wants to be number two.
Okay, the person who wants to be
the person
president.
Who's vice president, you there because then nobody wants your ass to be number one. And you're hoping that number one die so you can have his position. That's the only reason. The only reason you vice president is because you wasn't good enough to be the president.
True.
That's
true.
The only reason you number two.
And you're number two, but you're number two to be number one. The reason you want to be number one, though, I'm arguing, is not just about you. It's about what you think it's going to mean for whatever ghost from your family, from your family that are still with you. Satisfying the mother, satisfying the father, satisfying the lineage. Even though it's not a collectivistic way, it's still that mother who said, like, you need to be the best student. You know, second is not good. First, okay. That's all we want.
So you accept the vice president. I mean, obviously, being number two is better than vice president is a consolation prize in politics. I agree, Glenn, totally. Well, let's bring him over to the dark side.
I meant to say president when I said vice. But yeah.
Oh yeah, but yeah, but I think that again, the only reason a lot of times in America we're part of groups because we have to be, and if we are, we teach our kids to be the best in the group. We don't teach our kids to do what you can to help the group thrive, mm-hmm. to help the group survive. Like find your part and play. And play your part. I can remember I saw a video of LeBron James talking to his son's basketball team. He said there are a lot of people in the league that have been in the league 10 or 15 years or whatever, however many years he said. He said, because they're a role player. He said, if you want to be an individual, damn it, you need to go play golf. He said, you need to go play tennis. This is a team sport. You need to learn how to play a role so everybody can be successful. You know what I'm saying? And he wouldn't be making a speech if that wasn't a problem. You're on the team because you have to be. Right. Nobody wants their kid to be number two.
I'm not saying we're not individualistic. I'm just saying the root of the person being that way is not about themselves. It seems like it's about themselves. Everything that about seems about self is really about some form of other.
And I agree. No, I agree. I just think it's because I want the other to worship me. I want the other to be in. I want the other to be in awe of me. I don't think it's always in good. I don't think it's in good of the other. I don't think it's. I don't think it's for the. I don't think it's for the greater good of the group. Here, I'm saying here. I don't think it's for the greater good of the other.
No, I'm not saying that it's for the greater good, and I'm not even saying that it's really about the other. So, like, if a person wants to be whatever they the captain of the team. Certainly it's because they want to dominate the team. That's not necessarily for the good of the other. It could be lots of other reasons. But the behind that are the parents and the other unit that it's not about good or bad. It's about appeasing and living up to something for that group. That's what I think is like the root of it. That's not going to be seen. We'll see the person who is really full of themselves. They're stuck in a bubble. They can't be insulted in any way or else they're going to attack people. But that's really about some shattered sense of self that goes to the unit that we're not seeing, that family unit.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I can dig that. Again, Glenn said to explain myself, it's more about if you are attached, you have a selfish want to help. You have a selfish want to help. Whereas if you love without attachment, you aren't helping for self. He talked about LeBron being very self-driven. Plays 48 minutes, has the ball 65% of the time. He's very self-driven.
Let's go back to Glenn's question, or the original question we didn't get to yet. It was about the Buddhists.
Oh, yeah. Again, just and Glenn asked a question about Buddhist thought, and you can't help anyone if you're attached. Loving without attachment.
You can't help anyone if you, okay, well, what are your thoughts on that?
The idea of loving without attachment is the idea of giving for the giving and loving and giving for the sake of giving because it's the right thing to do. And not because I'm not loving and giving because it makes me feel good or you don't have to love me. I'm not looking for anything back in return. I don't need anything back in return. I'm loving and I'm giving just for the sake of loving and giving. You know what I'm saying?
I think that when I hear the word attachment, I think of your kind of attachment, developmental attachment. I think being able to love without expecting you to give me something is a different thing. But I think there's lots of ways that people can think about love. I think about love as the ability to love is to give affection and receive affection from another person. I think about it sort of in that way. I think it's really going to be difficult for a person to actually give genuine love if they haven't experienced a secure attachment. So what I mean by that is just somebody in their life that was able to show them love and affection without conditions, that wasn't abusing or neglecting them, that gave them a space and place where they can be who they are, and they experienced that on a regular basis, they became secure, and that's how they would go out into the world. I know it's Marianne's word kind of stuff, but that's kind of like how I see it, like based on what I see in my work, that if someone hasn't had the experience of a secure attachment, it's really hard for them to do love. It's really hard for them to do relationships. It's hard for them to accept things without thinking there's something coming behind them. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. But I think that in a perfect world, that the way I have learned to love and the way I think about love is, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I tell my kids get mad at me, they be like, Dad, you make me sick, I hate you. And you know me, I'm kind of hood. I'd be like, so?
Yeah.
I don't care. I still love you. My job to love you.
Right.
And to this very day, when my kids get upset with me or they get mad with me, it doesn't bother me. Like, my job is to love you. My job is to give. My job is to speak life into you. And you don't have to like me. You don't have to love me. You don't have to give me anything back.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not expecting anything back. My job is to feed your soul. My job is to love you and give you what I have. And when I get, it's weird, but when you get in relationships, that's the way that if I were in a relationship, that would be the way I would try to love. But there's still also this thing called equity, that there has to come a point that if you're not getting something back, that you have to decide, mm-hmm. you know, if you have to decide to leave, it's because you're not getting something in return. But then that means that you're attached in some way to what's happening in the situation.
Right.
So how do we get out? Somehow we got off from internet. Somehow we got away from the internet. But let's rock and roll with it anyway.
I mean, I think still think it relates because I think a lot of I don't want to say a lot, but I do think social media can be good. So I know the youngins out there might be like, oh, they're trying to take it away from us. No. But I think that attachment stuff comes into play with social media sometimes anyways, whether it's those strokes or those likes. And it's kind of like what I was saying earlier, like if they're missing it somewhere, can you blame them from trying to get it on Instagram or Facebook? You know, I'm not saying it's the parents' fault, but if like
But again, going back to the original point, this generation, I don't think that they necessarily have to be missing it at home. Like, everything True. About this society teaches them that this is what's important. Like, think about it now. You're 13, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, 17 years old. You have no coping skills whatsoever. Your frontal lobes ain't developed. You don't know how to properly reason about anything. Yeah. You're highly emotional. You don't have any emotional regulation at all. And, like, everything about your environment is telling you how many people like your photo, how many people like your pic should matter.
Yeah.
And I think that by the time you develop the ability and the skills to reason in life, you messed up at that point. It's 25 years. You've been trained and ingrained to believe that what other people think about you matters. The image that you portray matters. I can't think of the last time I saw a picture of somebody online and it didn't have a filter on it.
Well, yeah. Okay, this issue gets so complicated because it does come to me for like, I know that social media and these things have an impact on somebody's sense of self, their worth, how they feel like their worth is tangled up in likes and different things like that. And also, I think, does it just mirror a problem that already existed? So this whole comparison problem, as we were saying earlier, already exists. But this is just a way to highlight and amplify that problem to some degree, you know, because without internet, you know, what you have is parents saying, putting the bumper stickers up on their car, my child is on the honor roll, or, you know, when you meet somebody, what's the first thing they ask you? Well, what do you do? Like sometimes I've never answered this way, but I'd like to say, well, you know, I do, like I'm a trash man. Nothing, no offense to the trash man, but I'm just saying, yeah. What I tell you I do, if that's the first question you ask me, it's like that. So I don't know if that I know social media is making it worse, but is it just amplifying a cancer that was already there?
I think it was something that was there, but it makes it, I just think it makes it exponentially worse.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Just absolutely positively. Glenn just made a really, really good point. Nobody liked my pic, so I'm like that. Like we kind of look at it like if nobody liked my pic online, that says something.
Right.
That says something about me and something about the picture. If nobody paid attention, it's just like right now, like you know what I'm saying. If you got a new jacket and you went to school and nobody said nothing to it, you'd be like, man, my jacket, I was. Must be slow. Like, right. It must be something wrong with it. Nobody said, hey, nice shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you got a haircut. Hey, I like the way, if nobody says anything to you, I think it's the same way, it's the same concept with the internet. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Like, I think, because it's becoming a culture. Like, I think the example that I think of is I think about academicians. You come up, you're a scholarly person, what becomes your likes are the grades. And the gold stars. And as you get older, if you grow up, it's the research that you produce and the publications that you get and all those things. And what's that based on? It's based on the culture. And that's what we have with the social media. They grew up and this is how they're getting it. And so it's definitely a problem. And what we do about it is like, you know, another question. And there's still the other question of, is it just bringing forth these other things that were always there?
I just think it's amazing that it's all based around identity issues, you know, like you said, you know what I'm saying? You know, identity research shows that the more you know about yourself, and the more you know about yourself, and the more you know about who you are, the least likely you are to depend on something outside of yourself to feed you.
Okay.
To tell you your self-worth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just, I lost my thought, but it's just so important. It's just so important and scary. You know, I lost my train of thought on that one. Like, but I don't know. Again, Glenn, would you say, and I'm the master of intentional omission on the online field of play.
but it brings me back to that. Okay, so, well, I think depending on what your job is, you should be admitting some things. I mean, so I think too many young folk don't admit enough, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the difference between our generation and their generation. They just put up all kinds of junk and then like, oh, I don't know why you're firing me over that. Why'd you put it on social media? But it comes back to that question of if people post things on social media that might affect someone else's social comparison, but they're only giving you a snapshot. They decide that's what they want to do. I only want to put pictures of me smiling on my Facebook or my Instagram. That's happening on social media, but it's also happening when you see some people. You might only see them. You know, that's why it's hard for people to track things like depression. Not just with social media. Social media makes it harder. But also, they only see this person when they're having their highs. They never let them see this downside because they really don't think people can handle it. Now, yeah, that might be another problem with social media, because people feel like they can't really show you that side in real life. They definitely can't show you it on social media.
Because, well, that's because they know that you don't care.
Okay.
When somebody asks you, how are you? If you're having a crappy day, you just say, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because you know, if I say, well, I lost my dog, I got pregnant. Look, man, I don't hear all that. Like, they really want you to, they know that no one cares. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm asking you how your day was because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the nice thing to do. And I feel like I trick and fool myself into believing that I care about people.
Yeah.
When in actuality, I really don't care how your day is.
Yeah.
If somebody start going into how that day was, you can go home and be like, man, I bumped into this dude. This man told me his whole life story. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to talk about him, but you asked him.
Right.
So we know that people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely positively know people care nothing about us. So that's why, you know, we don't share that kind of stuff. And I think we don't post that kind of stuff, you know. But the thought that I lost was this. It's scary the length that people will go to create a fake life or a fake appearance just to get some attention. Like, so I heard these two girls talking once about taking pictures and posting pictures online to get dudes to like them. True story. So this girl is telling this girl, well, if you stand up and you turn sideways, it'll make you look smaller when you send him the picture, right?
Yeah.
And the girl said, well, he going to see how big my ass is when I meet him. She said, and the girl said, well, it's too late then. And I was like, y'all don't see nothing. Like, y'all see nothing wrong with that?
I have my own thoughts on it. Look,
you see nothing wrong with that? Like, but, and I'm not just saying it about women.
Right.
I'm just saying in general.
Right.
Like there are people who I have never seen on the internet without a filter on. And then when I see them in real life, I'm like, who are you? You look nothing like online and on social media. You look nothing like you look in real life at all in any way. And how are you okay constantly sending out this fake message and you're getting these likes, but they're not real? They don't like you. They like your representative.
Well, I think that's funny because I think to some degree we're going to meet the representative anyways. It's just that you can use more filters and cat eyes and all this other crap. But and I think I think ladies, y'all a little bit more guilty of that. Don't be mad at me. I'm just saying, like, you know, they got lots of things. They got wigs. They got some little, you know, bras they can put on in certain ways. They can add different things to make them look that you suck it in, you know. And then you think,
yeah,
even when you see them in person, like, dang, you know. And then, you know,
everything just, well, Fall apart.
Yeah.
You just going to just cut that off right there, huh?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that there.
Glenn said again, as a person who would rather fake concern or nothing at all, as a person would you rather fake concern or nothing at all? Good, that's a good question. And then he says, I don't like my teeth, so I smile with no teeth and pics. I don't know. That's a good question, Glenn. I'm the type of person that if I don't feel it, if I don't mean it, I don't say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'd rather like fake love is worse than no love, in my opinion. Like if I tell someone, like the reason that like my circle is really small, really, really, really small. And the people in my life that come to me, they always come to me because they know I will tell them the honest to God truth, because I'm always truthful and honest in all things. If you make spaghetti and it's gross, I'm not going to try to, I'm going to say it's nasty. Like, I believe in life, be honest in all things, even in the small things. Because when some big stuff happen and you need to hear the truth about something, you're going to come to me, because I don't lie about the small stuff.
Yeah.
I don't front about the small stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't hurt people. I'm not saying I'm mean, that I don't hurt people's right. feelings, but I am always honest. If you ask me for the truth, I'm going to give you the truth, because those are the type of relationships that I want. Like, I want people to know when it really means something. You know, when I say something, I mean it, because I've always, you know what I'm saying? There are times that I could disparage your feelings that I never did. So I think that's why fake love or fake concern, I'd rather just say nothing at all.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. Like, for me, I'm not as blunt as some people I know. Well, it depends on the circumstances, but in general, if I have something to tell you, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you in a way that as much as my power, I'm gonna kind of preserve your feelings, because I think that matters. I think there's lots of different ways people can say things, and I think people don't necessarily think about things before they say them. There's plenty of ways you can keep it real and not cut somebody. But if it's a choice of show concern or not say anything at all, I'm not gonna say anything at all. It's not even just with concern. If you were to buy me some type of food and then ask me what I thought about it and I didn't like it, I'm probably gonna just not say anything or be like, "Well, did you like it?" Well, that's probably what I'm gonna say if you force me to, if you ask me a question, hope I'm gonna get an answer. And then if you ask me about it, I'm gonna tell you why I didn't like it. So,
yeah, Glenn said, so would you rather a coworker just say hi to you or just put the head down and keep walking? See, that's the point, Glenn. Like, the point is that I think you should ask how people are and you should mean it. Like, that's the whole point. The whole point is we should care about each other. You know, but the thing is that we don't. The thing is that if I really tell you how my day is, I know you're going to be mad and upset and you really don't want to hear it. I want my coworkers to say hello, and I want to be able to be honest with them, and I want them to be okay with it. You know what I'm saying? But generally, for whatever reason, we aren't. What people do is they ask just for the sake of asking, because it's just the thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And I'm saying ask and mean it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think all people do that. I think there are, I mean, I know you're not saying all people either, but I think there are a number of people that ask and mean it. And it becomes complicated if you're one of those people, because then you get caught up in conversations longer than you intend to. I just think if you really, if you know, here's what the struggle is. You know, I think we got people pleasers out there. I don't think people ask it and then don't listen because they're trying to be rude. I think people ask it because they think if they don't ask it, that's not going to be right. The only reason I'm asking about you is because I think you expect me to ask about you. So what I prefer to do is, if I don't want to speak, then either I just do the head nod. I don't really say anything. I just keep it moving if I'm in a hurry, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He says, have we as a society got too sensitive where honesty is no longer the proper policy? Right or wrong? Where are you from again? Ain't you from Canada? Where are you from, Glenn? Canada? Right or wrong, is this where we are? Yeah, he's from Canada.
Canada.
And maybe that's another topic for another day. This idea of honesty being proper policy. Like, I don't think people want the truth anyway.
Well, okay.
I think in life, people always say, be honest with me. But you don't want me to be honest with you. You want me to tell you what you want to hear.
It is a trap that people do often. You know, they come to you.
When your girlfriend say, how I look in this dress.
Yeah, you better not.
You know what I'm saying? She wants you to tell you. You try to sit and feel what she want to hear. She don't want to hear the truth.
Right.
How do I look? You fat. You need to go to the gym. You don't want to hear that. What she want to hear is that I love you and you're the light of my life and you are beautiful. Like.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the other thing. I think, to me, I have a lot of friends that, quote unquote, keep it real. And the thing that I think gets in the way of how they can be helpful to people is they come off as prickly. It's because they don't take the time. I'm not saying that everything has to be about people's feelings, but you can be honest and still think about the person. Otherwise, here's the analogy for it. Everybody, a lot of people like coffee, right? But if I told you, Glenn, if I was like, hey, I'm going to give you your favorite coffee, whatever it is, that pumpkin spice or latte or whatever. But I'm just going to pour it into your hand. Most likely you wouldn't be cool with that because it's going to scorch your hand. And it could be the greatest coffee that ever existed. The coffee makers from wherever have created this coffee. And that's just like the advice or the honesty you want to give. But if it's not in context of the relationship, which is the cup with the warmers, then it doesn't matter what you're going to say. That's what I think the problem is. Not just, I think the other part is true. People don't want to hear the truth. But then also the person delivering it is like, I got to give you this hot fire and you need to take it.
Yeah. That's something that I think is interesting. People have cloaked being mean under under the veil of keeping it real when you're just really being mean and disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's really all it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The internet. that's where we left off. I think the internet is a trip, man. I think it has made people narcissistic. Mm-hmm. I think it has made people vain. I think it has made people self-absorbed. Like. I got in so much trouble with the women once. I was talking about women pictures online. Mm. And I made a statement and I said, for men, I wasn't necessarily talking about me. I said men in general. I said, if a dude looks at your page and you got more pictures of you than you do of your kids, you look vain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you look straight up vain. Like, think about it. There are people out there that's listening right now. You know what I'm saying? They take a selfie every day. What makes you think that we want to look at what you look? What, you know, see what I'm saying? Like, what makes you think that we want to look at you every day? Like, you think you so dope that you take a picture of yourself every day grinning. You think you that fine. Like, that trips me. Like, bro, that trips. Man, think about that. That trips me out to no end. You think you that fine that we want to see a picture of what you wore today and you take a picture every day. Man, who told you you was that cute?
There's so many places we can go here. Okay, so here are some of my thoughts on that. I think this whole internet social media problem does feed into that. I mean, and it started with MySpace. MySpace, right?
Yeah.
Facebook. Like, even if you're not putting up photos, we are all under the impression, including myself, that hey, people go to my page. People like to see what I got on my page, you know? And then it gets worse when it's pictures and different things like that. But the whole way that the system is set up is that you have your own little place. You got your own. I mean, that's why things like YouTube and all these things are a big deal, because the idea is that somebody wants to hear you. Rather, it's like see you, hear you, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think though with the selfies, what's challenging about it, I do think it has a flavor of narcissism, but what's underneath narcissism for me is not that they think they're so dope. It's actually that they need to recharge their belief that they are so often because there's nothing there. So I gotta wake up every day to get my filler of, okay, people think that I'm something special. And if I don't get these likes, my fuel is like a battery. That battery goes down. So I got it. That battery has to constantly be up because that's how deflated my sense of self is. I mean, another show about how that gets created, but yeah.
So you think people, so you think all these pictures that people are here posting, it's done because they have a low self-esteem?
Yes.
Man, I'm gonna tell you right now. It's some of these folks out here think they fine and they ain't.
Listen,
somebody has told you all that you cuter than what you really are.
He's standing
up,
y'all.
That's the problem.
He's standing
no,
up.
I said it. This key, Dr. Keelan Hinton, Dr. Period K double E L O N H I N T O N. Some of y'all have been told that you cuter and you finer than what you really are. I'm telling you, like, because if I didn't think I was attractive, I wouldn't take the picture. And you want to know? Ooh, we even got me started. You want to know the phrase that I love?
What?
I love to see people post pictures and then they'll say, well, they'll like try to low key, you know, I know this picture ain't cute, but whatever. Child, please. If you thought you was ugly when you took
the
picture, child, you wouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying? Go on.
Okay.
I look like my name's Sam Sausage Head? I don't believe none of that.
But
stop playing.
For a second. Listen. Okay. Like, what you see, things are not always as they appear. Like, you remember that movie, The Never Ending Story?
Yeah.
So you remember when he was coming to the Pegasus, and they were like, it was a moment of truth. You got to see yourself, try to get through.
Yeah.
So, and you would see the guys come before, they would be in armor, and they look all that all big, and like they were really a threat, but their true self is what stopped them from getting in. So we can't see that true self, right? If we could actually see their true self, we would see this small itty bitty self that needs to be recharged up, and they're not even connected with it. Yes, on a conscious level, they do think they're dope. They're like, yeah, I'm it. I'm the cat's nip or whatever. But in reality, they just need to recharge that every day. I mean, think about it. Why do they need to do it so much?
I mean, again, obviously I defer to you because you the clinician at the table. But and that does make sense. Like, deep down, you're posting all these pictures of you. You're getting all dressed up. You're looking all cute, and you need those likes because somewhere deep down, you really think, maybe you think you ain't that cute, or maybe cute. You know, and I say this all the time, and I've told people this. Cute is all you got, baby.
Oh, there you go.
That's the problem. The problem is, cute is all that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if, again, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah,
it's like I see people post live stuff, and I'm not knocking nobody.
He is, y'all.
But I'm not knocking nobody. But I'm just like, what made you think that we want to hear what you had to say? And I can probably say that about myself, because I'm pretty sure it's a couple people listening to us now like, bro, you got a podcast. What make us think you want to got that you have
that,
something
I
for
mean, that is what's so challenging about it, right? Do you remember LeBron when they had him a couple years back? One of the years they were down 3-1 to the Warriors, the year they lost. And they had him on the podcast, not a podcast. It was like they were talking to him, ESPN or something. They said, LeBron, what makes you so confident you can come back? He looked straight at the camera, and my man looked crazy psycho, and he said, because I'm the greatest player in the world. All y'all LeBron fans, you know, I know he's got a fan club. I'm not saying he's not the greatest. I'm just using this as an example. But if he didn't have that mindset, right, if he didn't think he was the greatest, then he couldn't be great. So the other challenge of this whole, like, thinking highly of yourself is that you got to think highly of yourself to take these kind of risks.
Listen, Dr. Chapman, break this down, Nate. The reason that LeBron James can say he's the best in the world is because he is. It's because he has been battle tested against the other greats in the world.
I mean, I don't know if he's the best
won.
In the world right now,
now
at this moment.
Lucy Lunch Meat around the corner, who posting all these pictures, she ain't been in the Miss Universe contest. She ain't been in the Miss America contest. Joe Blow, who got his shirt off at the gym, who got 2 or 3 muscles, okay, and he probably taking and injecting some stuff. He hadn't been battle tested against the greatest in the world. But for some reason or another, these people have this inflated view. I'm so dope. These people want to see me take pictures of myself in the gym every day.
But why
I'm
are you
so
mad
dope
at them, though? Why are you so mad at them?
I'm tired of seeing them in my feed, son. I'm telling you. Look, I'm so dope. It's something about that narcissism bothers me. I don't know why. Because I think that's something that is lost out of our out of our society's humility. You know what I'm saying? Like that is what bothers me. But the fact that you think that we want to see a different picture of you every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got kids, and I didn't even know you had kids, because you got so many pictures of you on your Instagram that I had no idea you even had children. Like, how does that happen? How do you have, like, you got two whole kids at your crib, and nobody knows, because you got so, you are so self-absorbed, got so many pieces of yourself. Now, again, I got torn one by the feminists and by women. Oh, so just because a woman don't post pictures of their kids, then so we are more than that, and all this. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm going to keep it real with you. Like, with men, that is important to men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as men, when we look for partners, if you got kids, like, we want to know if you're a good mother. There's certain things that matter.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to women, they want to, not that women are looking for some, like, not that all women are looking for somebody to take care of them, but the notion and idea, if you are a man, can you provide and protect? I don't need you to provide and protect me. I can make my own bread, but can you do that? Like, there's certain things that are valuable to men and that men think are important, and there's certain things that women think are important. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And for a lot of men, wonder, are you a good parent? And it's kind of like, if you look self-absorbed, you know what I'm saying? You look narcissistic. You look full of yourself. When I go through all of your pictures, and it's pictures of nothing but you every day. Yeah. If you got 50 pictures of nothing but you every day, I'm wondering, what made you think that you were so fine
that
we want to see a picture of you every day?
You know, usually how I think about it when I see that, it depends. Like, when I see people that, I think everybody has some degree of, not everybody, some people don't have it at all. It's complicated, because some people can have a sense of self that doesn't seem like a sense of self, because they seem to be like they're depressed, and they're kind of like the type of person that seems to get down on themselves. But that really still can be a reverse version of narcissism, because they're so worried about themselves that they think about themselves a lot, that they think that you talking about whoever is talking about them. But that's a topic for another day. But when I see these things in pictures, usually I don't. The reason I don't think I get mad is because I think, man, I just picture the small person on the inside that needs the energy, and that's what's happening.
Okay. And first, I don't get mad.
Okay.
But we can agree that there's something there.
Yeah.
Psychologically and or emotionally.
Okay.
For you to take a picture of yourself every day and post it.
Yeah. We agree.
We agree. Now, whatever it is, we don't know. But we can both agree, from a professional standpoint, that there's something's going on, mm-hmm, that you feel the need to do that.
Right.
Okay. And we can agree from there then. That's good enough. Glenn says, what goes back, what you talking about, Glenn, when you say that goes right back to toxic masculinity? We actually got to have a show about that. This notion, is masculine, is there a such thing as, and that's another show that we plan on having a little bit later, this notion or idea that, is masculinity toxic? Who decided to say that being masculine or being a man is toxic? Is there? Where is the line that we draw when we say he's going above and beyond just being a normal man? He's a toxic man. Yeah. Like, what does that mean? Now, again, that's not me saying, and that's not, definitely I'm not speaking for Dr. Chapman, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think that that is an important question to ask. Reference to a man need to take a partner, or to take care of a partner. Oh, no. I think that, that's a really good question, Glenn. I think as men, okay, research, from a research perspective, Glenn, research shows that the more educated a woman becomes, the least likely she is to get married. That's not me making that up.
You ain't making that up, y'all. I've seen that too.
So. That is research. And the question is why? Why is it that the more educated a woman becomes, the more money she has, the more income she makes, the more resources she has, she's least likely to be married, okay? It's not a women issue. It's a man issue, okay? Men are intimidated by, I believe that men are intimidated by that because as men, there's some things that I think from an evolutionary perspective that never left us. And as men, our jobs and we feel like our jobs and roles are still to provide and protect. That is my job. So if you make more money than me, if you have more resources than me, if you're smarter than me, if you make more money than me, then what is my role? What is my role in this family? What is my role? I don't, as I said before, I said this before, men don't have babies. We don't breastfeed babies. We generally don't socialize the babies. Why am I here? It's a deep evolutionary identity issue. A man's identity in this world, from a societal perspective, I'm not saying this, from a societal perspective, the only thing that good men are good for are providing and protecting. Okay? So again, I think that a lot men have been taught socially, so in that mindset, toxic for men mentally. I think that men have been taught, we have been taught and trained and ingrained from the time that we are children, that is our identity and those are our roles. That's all I'm saying. And what's important about this idea of toxic masculinity is, and go back, if you get a chance, Glenn, myself, Dr. Chapman, and a few other guys, we did, if you look at Love Lines, we did a men's panel, and this is actually something that we talked about. People talk about toxic masculinity and men being toxic. Look, we get this from our mothers and our fathers. How do people think we become toxic? It's not men molding and making other bad men. It's our mothers as well. There are mothers that spank us also that when they see us pick up Barbie dolls. There are mothers and the women in our lives that tell us those things as well, because women understand what happened to, and again, I'm using air quotes, quote unquote, women understand what happened to weak men. Women understand what will happen to their sons if their sons aren't an alpha. So I'm saying it's so easy to talk about men as if we are just genetically and inherently bad people. We are socialized. All this toxic stuff that people are complaining about, we are socialized and trained and ingrained by society and by our mothers and by our fathers and by our communities to be this way. And it's easy to fix. It's not that, like, it's totally, it's absolutely, positively not that hard to fix, okay? I thought you was calling England. So again, I don't think that it's that hard to fix. It's important to understand that these things are socially trained and ingrained in us, okay? So again, I think we got to move on and move forward. But we'll move on and move forward. And again, if you like posting pictures of you, fine. But I'm just,
that's going to be judged if he sees you.
Look, it's one thing to post one picture, mm-hmm. but when you posting multiple pictures of yourself,
I agree.
And it's nothing to think, man, I look kind of dope today. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when you post it, like, you look at, I've seen people, like, photos, and not that I'm stalking or being a creeper or nothing, but I've seen people, like, you take a picture every day, like, you got 200-some pictures of you, like, every, like, yeah. At that point, I started to go, man, you must know you fine. And maybe you are, but I think to me, even if you do look good, I just appreciate a level of humility in people. Even if you the baddest dude, you the baddest chick in the world, you the strongest dude in the world, you the most handsome dude in the world, there's nothing more attractive than somebody that's attractive. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And they could play it up, but they don't.
You know,
nobody, hold on real quick. Nope, everybody hates the rich dude that pulls up in his Porsche and you know what I'm saying, and let everybody see him, and you know what I'm saying. I know a couple cats that got a lot of bread and got a lot of dope, and you wouldn't know it, and they don't throw it in your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something about somebody who that has something and that throws it and that flaunts it that turns people off. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So you might be attractive, but if I feel it, and this is just me personally, if I feel like it, exactly, like, humility and being humble is the key. You might be attractive, you know what I'm saying? And to me, it makes you even more attractive that you are, but you act down to earth, and you don't have to flaunt your attractiveness and let people know that you the baddest dude or you the baddest chick on the block. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that actually makes people unattractive to me when you're flaunting how good you are on the court, or how attractive you are, or how whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I find that interesting because I think that really the struggle, there's a struggle with that because people think when someone is doing a lot of pictures or showing you the materials they have or whatever the case may be, that that is a sign of arrogance and confidence. It might be arrogance to some degree, but it's not really necessarily confidence. I think the struggle for me is that we have so many people out there in the world who really struggle with their sense of self. And they live in a world of, well, I got to be humble. I got to be, you know, I can't really show any better. I can do this, that, or the other. I do believe in humility. I think humility is important. I think the other half of the spectrum, though, is that people try to stay so humble they don't let anybody know who they really are and what they can really do. They like they don't shine in order for people not to be upset that they can shine. So I'm not going to go up to the top of the bucket because the other crabs are going to be mad.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So those that's online, let us know what you think. We have literally just scratched the surface of this whole, I don't know if it's an internet addiction. What role does it play in our lives? My deepest apologies if I went off the rails just a little bit there. But again, I think it's the notion or idea of, you know, I appreciate people who are humble. If you make a touchdown, I think it's cool if you dance. But I think the dude is dope that makes a touchdown and just runs off like, this is what I do every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something that is dope about being humble and appreciating the fact that I have the ability to do this. You know what I'm saying? And I think to be dope, you don't have to... You know what I'm saying? You don't have to not stepping on people around you is not, for lack of a better term, it's not what I mean, but it's just like you don't always have to flaunt what you have, whether it's looks, whether it's attractiveness, whether it's money, whether it's whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like the internet has created this competition. So she thinks she bad, so let me try to one-up her then. Or let me try to one-up him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we see everybody, like, we see everybody, like, and again, that's why I said, and it's to a point now that everybody's lying. All y'all don't live fabulous lives. Come on, Holmes. I saw the water people at your house about to turn your water off, partner. But you getting ready to go to Aruba somewhere. And I know they cutting off your lights at your crib. Like, or whatever. Like, why is it so important? Why is it so important to stretch yourself beyond your means, to live financially beyond your means, to buy clothes that you ain't gonna be able to fit in, or that's gonna be out of style in the next 6 months? Like, why is that? I'm just saying that think of all of the things that people do to impress other people around them, to get a like or to get some love or to get some attention from other people around them. That is just like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there are people who I don't know what their real face look like yet. Because every time I see them, they got a filter on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And again, maybe I'm like that because I don't care.
I just see all those situations and, you know, you could never know what the exact reason is. But I think all of those situations have a complicated string of unfortunate events that have led to it. I know that sounds very dramatic, like it was trauma. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying there's a story behind every behavior, I think.
I can remember seeing a Dave Chappelle interview that in the actor's studio. It was one of my most favorite interviews I've ever seen him do. Or anybody do, to a point that I bought it. I ordered it and bought it. he said, what's happening that you got Mariah Carey taking her clothes off on TV? What's happening that you got Martin Lawrence waving a gun in the middle of the street saying they're trying to kill me, they're trying to get me? And he said, these are strong people. So what has them to that point and basically makes the point there's something wrong with the environment? He said, maybe it's not them, maybe it's something wrong with the environment. And that is my point. Is that I just think all of this stuff ultimately, man, just makes us worse people.
I agree. And I think we agree.
Everything about, not just technology, just everything about social media. We don't talk to our kids. You go into households, everybody's on the damn phone.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't call your mama, you texting your kids, you texting your mama, you texting your friends, you talking on, so like, it just detaches us. It has detached us in a way.
Right. I agree that social media is part of the environmental problem, and I think with each person and how they act, their social footprint is based on their microcosm that they live in. And all of that stuff is where their own personal story affects the social story, and it has a unique impact. Like, we could say, you know, well, the reason that people are unhealthy is because they eat their food choices. Yeah, but that's one problem. And then we'd have to take that food choice and look at the environment they grow up in. We'd have to look at their economic situation. We'd have to look at a number of other variables that food is not going to do it by itself. Certainly, if they change their diet, that's going to change it. But then there's all these other, that's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah, yeah. I don't know. And the thing is, will this get any better?
No, it's probably gonna get worse before it gets better, I would assume.
This is just the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We have, like, a new baseline has been set, and I don't know. Like, even if I don't, and it's crazy with all that I know. If I don't have my phone and I can't find my phone, like, I don't go into a panic, but I gotta find it.
Yeah,
and I hate that I've allowed myself to be trained and ingrained that way. But it happened. It was so slick, and it's all sold to you as a way to make your life more convenient. You know what I'm saying? This is going to make your life so much easier and so much more convenient. And again, there are pluses to it. I just don't think that it makes us better people. I don't. People are the I'm telling you, the internet gangsters that are out there now are outrageous. Like, people are, it's so much, like, people say stuff to other people on the internet that they wouldn't dare say to their face.
Yeah, that's another problem. That's a big problem with bullying and all that.
Yeah, and it's so easy to hurt someone that you can't see.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to hurt somebody that you can't see. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think all of this just makes us worse people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But again, I don't know. When people hear about all these countries around the world, like, banning the internet and banning Facebook, and it looks like, oh, what's interesting is, like, people do. You know, I used to teach this thing that talks about, when I lived in D.C. when I was in grad school, shout out Howard University. We would walk down the street to this coffee shop, and we would meet these cats at Georgetown, and we would just sit around and chill, and we would exchange research ideas and all this kind of stuff. And I guess I'm going to date myself. This was early 2000s. War in Iraq was happening. And one of my homegirls was talking to a guy from the Middle East, and he was like, you know, we were just talking about it all. And, like, well, we're trying to help you guys get free. And he was like, what do you mean, free? He was like, well, you know, women can't wear what they want to wear, and they can't go to school. And he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. He was like, let me tell you something. Where I'm from, we do what helps us function best. He was like, we looked at y'all, and we saw what happened when everybody was at work. He was like, mom at work, dad at work, now you got latchkey kids. We saw teen pregnancy. Y'all saw teen pregnancy go up. Y'all saw alcohol use go up. Look at all these bad byproducts. He was like, so it's not that necessarily where I'm from, we don't want, and it was some little place, I can't even think of the name of it. It's not that we don't want our women to work. Our women are educated, but family structures are better when there's somebody, when the kids get home from school, for somebody to cook for them, for somebody to hug them, for somebody to love them. Like, things just, we just do what helps us function best. He was like, our women are covered. That's a choice that they make. He was like, when you see somebody, all you see is legs, breasts, and thighs. He was like, I fell in love with the essence of who my wife was. And that type of beauty is meant for me. So I'm saying all that to say, it's all a matter of perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can all look at the same, like, we can look at the same situations and come up with two completely different interpretations. You know what I'm saying? And, like, so when we look at other countries that ban the internet in their countries, we're like, oh, those people don't have freedom, but are they doing what helps them function best? Are they looking at the West and they see them people don't talk to each other? They don't talk to their kids. They don't have, like their interpersonal relationships are all messed up because they so engrossed on the phone. Like, it looks like, it may look as if they just being mean for the sake of being mean, or they are infringing on people's rights, but are they trying to do what will help them function best to keep family structures together? And at what point are we going to get past making money or whatever it is? Because ultimately, all the social media is, man, it's at the end of the day, if you look around the borders and the edges, you probably don't even, none of us probably see them because we're so busy talking to who we're talking to. You're subconsciously taking in all these ads that are on the edges and on the borders. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, all this really is just to market stuff to you so they can get your stuff, so they can get you to buy stuff. That's all this, that's at the end of the day, that's all this really is. The end of the day, like, why do you think they charge hundreds of thousands of dollars for people to advertise on social media? Why? To subconsciously get you to see ads so you can buy stuff. Like, at what point, we know that a lot of these things are, I think, affecting relationships, affecting intimate relationships, affecting familiar connections and relationships. Like, will we ever do what's best to help people function best and make good connections to be healthy people and healthy families and have healthy relationships? Or, I mean, is the only thing that matters is advanced technology? I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know, man. I'm just running my mouth. It's all just something to think about, though. You know what I'm saying? As much as I use social media, it's hard for me to see the when we talk about social media, the negative outcomes far outweigh the positive outcomes.
Okay.
But that, again, that's just me. I don't know. We've been talking an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That quick. No break. So, all right. So, again, for those that are out there that are listening, whether you're listening on the Marshall stream, or you're listening at Mahogany Love and Light at the podcast, we want to say thank you. We know, again, as we said before, when we come in here, nothing is really written down. We just come in here and have a basic idea of something that we want to talk about, and we just sort of sit.
Just two psychologists in the mic, y'all.
Yeah. We just kind of sit in here and we just rap, and we love when the process is organic, and just see what comes of it for the day, okay? So, again, for those that would like to send questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2, B, P-S-Y-C-H, @gmail.com, b2b@gmail.com.
And those could be, you know, those could be questions or maybe things that you think you'd like us to explore. I mean, we'll take a look at them and think and see if we want to tackle them.
Yeah, definitely. And again, on the Mahogany Love and Light .podbean.com. Again, you will find Brother to Brother. Brother to Brother will air every Thursday at 9:00. So those that would like to sign on and ask questions, again, Glenn, shout out to Glenn in Canada. We want to thank you for asking questions and participating. Again, Glenn has his own podcast. It's a dope podcast and website as well. If you get a chance, listen to Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. Glenn, the word double, F-I-N-G-N. So check out Glenn if you get a chance on his own. He has his podcast and he got some pretty good content. So again, for those out there, you know, we wish you peace and blessings. You could have been anywhere tonight, but you decided to hang out with us for a little while, and we definitely appreciate it. Again, every Thursday night at Thursday night at 9:00, you can hear Brother to Brother, and then on Sundays, Love Lines will come on again, where we'll answer questions, have panels and emails as well. Mm-hmm. For now, Love Lines comes on at 8 o'clock, but I might push it up, because again, I know everybody complained about wanting to watch Power, so I'll probably push Love Line up to about 6 or 7 if you check on the website. But probably about 6 o'clock I'll start Love Lines. But Love Lines will definitely be definitely on Sundays, probably around 6 o'clock from now on. So again, peace and blessings to you, and Dr. Chapman is going to take us out.
Before I give some, a few closing remarks, I just want to give you some places that you can also reach me if you're interested in some couples coaching services. I use what's called the Gottman Method to help, you know, couples that are struggling or maybe not struggling, just trying to work through some things. You can find me on www.coachchapman.com or chapmantrainingandconsulting.com, or you can go to just www.coachchapman.com. So we talked about a number of things today. You know, we started out, we talked about the internet, we talked about social media, we looked at some of the pros, we looked at some of the cons. Maybe you're wondering what you can take away from our conversation today. What I hope you take away, maybe you find yourself, maybe you're the one that takes all the selfies, or maybe you're the one that's getting mad at the person with the selfies. Like, remember though, if you happen to be the one that this is just coming on your stream and this is a friend or a person in your life, there's possibly something under that. And I'm not even throwing out the word of narcissism. I know people like to use that word, but just something under that that causes them to want to get recharged with likes. Maybe that's not entirely their fault. Maybe our social structure has set that up. Maybe something in their life has set it up. We're not trying to take away from personal responsibility that people should have, but just understand everything is not what meets the eye. There are sometimes lots of things under the behaviors, if you can give people the benefit of the doubt, because if you don't, and karma comes around, maybe someone's not going to give you the benefit of the doubt when it's needed. So peace and blessings. We will see y'all next week, or you'll hear us next week.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole, I played my cards and I didn't fold, well it ain't that hard when it got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet. No surrender and I won't retreat. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail. Turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell.